Baylor quarterback Bryce Petty is reportedly making a pre-draft visit to Green Bay. We'll take a look at Petty and the rest of this year's quarterback class as we analyze the Packers' backup situation. It's all coming up on Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central next. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Kiravu. Your source for Packers football 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays, the live edition at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. We're talking some Packers football. We're talking a little bit of basketball first. You have to indulge me. We will get to football, I promise you. But it is one heck of a day for Wisconsin sports today. We start off just past the noon hour with opening day in baseball at Miller Park. And to follow that up, you have on Wisconsin, the Badgers taking part in the national championship game this evening, just past 8 p.m. Central Time. So quite a big day in the state of Wisconsin. It has nothing to do with the Green Bay Packers. Usually, if you're talking sports in Wisconsin, boy, Packers are involved. Not today, but it is the month of April. Regardless, we got some Packers sports talk coming up in a second, but over the weekend, you know, the big story was, of course, the Final Four, Badgers taking part, and, you know, there was a lot of hullabaloo about Aaron Rodgers actually in the house, you know, during the Sweet 16 at the Elite Eight in the run-up to the Final Four. He was there cheering on the Badgers, and he wasn't in Indianapolis. He wasn't at the site of the Final Four. But, you know, the one tie to the Packers I have here is I was actually watching the team stream. This is something really cool that the Turner Broadcasting Spectrum there does during the Final Four, where they have the team-specific broadcast. I was watching with Wayne Larrabee, with Mike Kelly on the call, Phil Dawson, the sideline reporter, and they showed a tweet from Aaron Rodgers during the game, during the broadcast, and I actually have it pulled up here on my screen if I can quote this directly. Aaron Rodgers says, quote, "Wow, horrible sequence for the refs," end quote. Just a tweet during the action there. And I'm not sure what this was precisely in reference to. It was one of two things. And there were two calls that kind of went against the Badgers that were two plays, both in the second half there. One, a charge call on Josh Gosser that I thought was a poor call. Second, what should have been or could have been a flagrant foul on Kentucky. Doesn't go Wisconsin's way. Aaron Rodgers reacting to that. You know, that is the Wisconsin fan perspective there. A lot of talk over the weekend about what happened in that game, what transpired in terms of referees' calls. I think Kentucky fans are really mad about what was, one, a missed shot clock violation when Nigel Hayes had a little bit of a tip in there. And secondly, when Bronson Koenig came from out of bounds to, and it didn't appear as if he reestablished himself inbounds first before grabbing a basketball. Two calls that went against Kentucky. But I think if you look at Aaron Rodgers' reaction to what went down, I think you saw that there were probably two maybe poor calls that went both ways against both teams, and thus I think everything kind of equaled out in the end. I don't think it, you know, I thought the refs missed calls, but I thought it was rather equal, went both ways. I don't think if you're a Kentucky fan, you can say, hey, we got screwed by the refs. I think there were calls that went against Wisconsin too. And anyway, I mean, Wisconsin ends up winning by, I think what the margin was, 7 points in the end. I mean, yeah, you tack on a few free throws at the end. But what a moment for Wisconsin to be in the national championship game this evening. First time since 1941. It is incredible what Bull Ryan has done for this Wisconsin Badgers program, having them on the cusp of a title. And it's going to be a close one. I'm all on board Wisconsin right now. It's going to be tough to see them lose this game. I saw that. I watched the ACC Big Ten Challenge early in the year, Duke versus Wisconsin, and there's no doubt that Duke was the better team on that day. Okafor was simply unstoppable. He looked better than Frank Kaminsky that day, but this Badgers team has only gotten better since that time. Not that Duke hasn't, but I think this will definitely be a different game on a neutral site. You think during the ACC Big Ten Challenge, the Badgers should have had the advantage on their home court. I still think they have a very good chance. I'm even going to call for the Badgers' victory this evening. But it was good to see this past weekend the Packers' perspective in this game. Not just Aaron Rodgers cheering for Wisconsin, but Packers wide receiver Randall Cobb. I know before the game on Saturday, he actually made an appearance on ESPN's SportsCenter. Live interview talking about what it was like to go to Kentucky. A big Kentucky fan. Can't blame him. That's his alma mater. But he was actually gracious after the game. If you followed Randall Cobb on Twitter, basically saying good luck to Wisconsin after the game and being gracious in defeat. But it'll be exciting this evening to see how it all plays out. So there's your Wisconsin Badgers-Packers connection, and we're going on to some strictly football talk from here on out, I promise. So we alluded to this the last episode of Railbird Central, talked about it very briefly with Scott McKenna on Friday, that reportedly Bryce Petty is making a pre-draft visit to Green Bay, the Baylor quarterback. And if you go check out our blog post here at CheeseheadTV.com, I laid it out. When the Packers actually bring in a player for a pre-draft visit, they don't do that lightly. They typically show an atypical high amount of interest in these type of guys. I don't believe that this is smokescreen or anything like that. I'm not saying the Packers are guaranteed to draft Bryce Petty. Don't read into it like that. But they want to find out more here about this guy.
I just think that the Packers probably don't know enough about him, and perhaps they're intrigued by him. Because Bryce Petty, I suppose this is a good time as any to kind of break down his game a little bit, comes from a very unorthodox Baylor offense. And that is real. I mean, you talk as far as spreads go, this is the real spread that is far different from the NFL game. The college game is very different, or at least what they do at Baylor does under Art Briles. If you watch Baylor, they spread their wide receivers more than any team you have ever seen in football history. They will put the wide receiver so close to the sideline. It's unbelievable. And it's interesting because, I mean, there is no chance of that wide receiver doing an out route that is near the sideline. It's either in or it's downfield. But what it's really doing is spreading out the defense and opening things up for a lot of different things. But Bryce Petty, you know, as far as that offense went, he operated it to a T. A lot of questions about whether he can transition to the pro game, because there weren't a lot of progressions in Baylor's passing game. There was just a lot of, you know, designed routes, throws, one read, and it's out of his hand. And, you know, that's not Petty's fault, but it does raise questions about, you know, will he be able to go from under center, make multiple progressions, read a defense, find the openings, things like that. And that I think that is why the Packers are bringing him in. They don't really know what – they see the natural talent. They see the natural talent. Bryce Petty, strong arm, remarkably good touch on deep throws. I mean, Baylor chucks the ball all over the field, and he would find receivers like Antoine Goodley deep down the field. They had a pretty deep wide receiver core there. Levi Norwood, some underclassmen yet that are still in school. But surprisingly good touch on the downfield throws, pretty accurate. I mean, anytime, I don't care what offense you're running, anytime you're throwing the ball 20-plus yards downfield, it's tough for Aaron Rodgers to be accurate. I mean, he's more accurate than most. I mean, we're talking about one of the best quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. But so, I mean, that's what draws you to Bryce Petty, is you see him chucking the ball downfield. It's with very good arm strength, and it's pretty accurate. And you see that, and you wonder, okay, can this guy handle the progressions? Can he be in this complex NFL offense where the play call is, you know, 10 words long that he's going to have to say in the huddle and then remember all the moving parts and all the routes and all the protections on top of it? It's not going to be easy. So I'm sure, you know, when the Packers are using one of their, and the NFL allows 30 players to come into team headquarters, that they cap it at that. I mean, they can go talk to as many players as they want on the All-Star game circuits. They got like 60 interviews at the NFL Combine, but they can only bring 30 into team headquarters. So I think what they're doing is bringing Bryce Petty in, having, you know, the offensive gurus talk to him, the Mike McCarthys, the Tom Clements, the Alex Van Pelts, and really picking his brain and finding out what he knows, because it's going to be a transition. It's not going to be easy. And so I think if they're going to want to spend a draft choice, they want to know what they're getting into here. So I don't believe the whole smokescreen aspect to this. It's tough. I don't think the Packers are in a position to draft a quarterback, especially where it would take to draft Bryce Petty. I think he's a day two type of quarterback. I don't think anybody's going to invest a first round draft choice into him. I could be wrong, certainly. Seems like every year now there's a quarterback that goes earlier than you expect. But I don't think Bryce Petty's going to be that guy who's, you know, somebody's going to take that first round pick and get that extra year. You know, first round picks have 5-year contracts, potentially, when you add on the option year. Whereas, you know, second round and below, you have, you know, 4-year contracts. Anyway, I do think it would take a day two draft pick to take him, though, either round two or round three. I personally didn't think that, you know, the Packers would invest a draft pick that high into a quarterback. Not that I couldn't see him picking a quarterback on day three, but just day two I thought was too early. or is going to be too early. I just think, you know, you're not looking for Aaron Rodgers' successor yet. You've got him under contract, I believe, through the 2019 season, something like that. And I just think, you know, you can put off the eventual successor for at least another year. Now, that being said, still looking for a backup. They re-signed Scott Tolzien, but it's only a one-year contract. So you can see they're not fully... I mean, they're committed to him. They obviously, he was one of the first re-signings of the offseason, but they're not, you know, going in, you know, head first with Scott Tolzien being this, you know, the Doug Peterson to Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, basically. The kind of the guy who's going to be around for the long haul. I think they like the development they've seen. You saw it 2 years ago when Aaron Rodgers was injured, and you saw a talented but raw guy. You saw the improvement in training camp this past year in 2014, but that's pretty much all you saw from Scott Tolzien. You never saw him during the regular season. And you just hope he takes the next step. And I do think, you know, unless they were to take a day two quarterback or something, Scott Tolzien's going to be your number two guy. You kind of invest into him for at least this year. But, I mean, I can't rule anything out. I don't see it likely being that the Packers would draft a quarterback on day two. But, I mean, unexpected things happen in the draft all the time. I just can't rule it out. But if we take a look at what else is out there, I mean, yeah, you got it. It's not like, oh, they're bringing in Bryce Petty, so this is their guy. This is the only guy they consider. I think, obviously, and I'm not going to get too in-depth here about these top quarterbacks, but I think everybody and their brother, you have to live under a rock if you haven't heard about Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota. I mean, they're just getting the most attention of any two potential NFL draft picks. They play the quarterback position. Just quarterbacks get so much attention in general. You know, they're number one and number two. I really do have a tough time drafting Jameis Winston. A lot of it does have to do about the immaturity. And I think when you invest the kind of investment you do into a first-round quarterback, and especially a high-round quarterback, potentially the number one overall, you're just setting yourself up for defeat many times. I did not like a lot of the decisions that Jameis Winston made on the field, in fact, in 2014. I realize he's a talent. He's got a heck of an arm. There's a lot of things he does well, but I just pulled up his stats here. Jameis Winston had a 25-18 touchdown to interception ratio. Here we are, allegedly the number one quarterback in the nation here. 18 interceptions, and that we're just talking 2014 here. I remember watching that. I believe, was it Halloween night? The Halloween night matchup between Louisville and Florida State. And Florida State had to go on the road to Louisville. And Jameis Winston threw, at least three interceptions that game. Threw a couple in the national semifinals against Oregon. I remember Eric Dargan picking him off. I just think there's so many poor choices, and it's not like he's necessarily throwing into coverage, but I can remember that Louisville game. He's trying to make a throw on the Oregon game, making a throw on a deep out pattern. Like, we're talking 20 yards downfield here, and it just, you know, it's a long throw, and he thinks it's going to get there. But the safety just has, because it's a long throw, he's got a long time to read it and a long time to get over to the sideline, ends up breaking it up. And I just, I don't see the talent there, that just the sureness that you're going to get that production out of Jameis Winston. And I do like Marcus Mariota better because I do think he makes better decisions. And I understand the shortcomings with Marcus Mariota, another spread style quarterback, never, you know, going under center, lots of short little routes, things like that with Marcus Mariota. But I just think the raw tools are there. I think it's going to take time. I think if you're looking to make Marcus Mariota a starter the first year, it's you're going to go through some rough patches. But I do like him better overall because he's the, of course, there's no off-field concerns with Marcus Mariota. It's all how does he transition to the spread game, very much like Bryce Petty. So I think those are the top two quarterbacks, but I don't think either of them reach, you know, number 30 overall, anything like that. It, you know, beyond Winston and Mariota, there's kind of like no consensus over the next three quarterbacks, including Bryce Petty. Number three, number four, number five, Bryce Petty's in there somewhere. UCLA's Brett Hundley is in there, and Colorado State's Garrett Grayson is in there. And it seems like everybody likes someone different among that group. You know, we already talked about Bryce Petty a lot and what he's got going for him with UCLA's Brett Hundley. Another guy who took very few snaps from under center. And I think that's kind of the drawback about him. On top of that, he took a lot of sacks, but here's why I like Brett Hundley is because I think he is athletic. You just take a look at his, I'm going to reference his statistics. You know, take a look at his rushing numbers and you can tell this guy's got some athleticism. He runs for a lot of yards. He runs for a lot of touchdowns. I think he actually had double digit touchdown rushes this past season. But I mean, it's, you know, backed up by film. The guy's got some athletic ability and you wonder why does a guy with so much athletic ability take so many sacks? And I think it's because at UCLA, they really had some offensive line problems the past few years. Just not a lot of depth on the UCLA offensive line. And I think that's almost more at fault than Hundley to the reason him being why they took so many sacks. I think you get Brett Hundley behind a good line, I think you're going to see that decrease. I think you're going to see that athletic ability for him to avoid some sacks. You're obviously not going to avoid every single one of them. But I think that's why, you know, there can be some potential there in Brett Hundley. And again, it's not going to be overnight. He's going to take some time too. He's going to need the right coaching to make all those little things from under center, everything like that. But that I like him, and I like Garrett Grayson. Now, he is the prototypical pro-style quarterback. You take a look at all of these guys from spread systems or guys who don't go under center. Garrett Grayson is the one guy who would and can, and he has the background, and he hasn't always been this top-tier quarterback. I mean, he's coming out of Colorado State. It's not one of those, the big five conferences in America. He wasn't recruited highly by any means. So there's, you know, questions about that. But he is the guy, though, probably more than any other quarterback that has the background that you want, that would go under center, that would make the progressions and the reads and those kind of things. And he's got all that going for him. So I like Garrett Grayson from that standpoint. And I think these top five guys pretty much all go on day one or day two. I think by the time day two is done, all five of these quarterbacks will be off the board. That's my prediction. I know not everybody's going to agree with that, but I think that's the way it happens. I do think there is a tremendous drop-off after the top five quarterbacks in this year's draft class. Guys I like that maybe are after the top five. Let's say the Packers don't invest a day one, day two draft choice into a quarterback. Who are you looking at after that? I like Cody Fajardo of Nevada. Very much a Colin Kaepernick kind of clone. That's what people think. I mean, they obviously come from the same program at Nevada, but another spread system, not under center, going to take some adjustment, but you got to like his athletic ability, much like Colin Kaepernick. Kaepernick was able to make the adjustment to the NFL, maybe not to the extent that some people would like to see out of him, but I think people can recognize that, you know, if you're going to rank NFL quarterbacks, Colin Kaepernick's in the top dozen in the world. You know, maybe he's not the top five, but he's in the top dozen in the world, and that's not bad company. So maybe Cody Fajardo can, you know, be the poor man's Colin Kaepernick. I mean, if you're investing a day three draft choice, you're looking for a backup. You're not looking for Aaron Rodgers' successor. So I think there's tools to work with there, albeit it's going, like many of these guys, take some time. Hudson Mason of Georgia. He's another guy who comes from a kind of more of a pro-style offense, has been under center, things like that. And I think he makes a lot of good decisions. He just doesn't have that prototypical arm strength. So he is smart and is able to make reads. I think he's shown that at the college level. He just doesn't have that real NFL arm, and I'm not sure, you can develop that kind of thing. You either almost have a strong arm or you don't. I don't think Mason does, but again, at least he makes good decisions. He's not going to turn the ball over a lot of times. He's not going to force a lot of throws and force a lot of interceptions. Those are kind of two guys I like. There's Anthony Boone of Duke, who's small, again, makes good decisions. We talked about him in depth with Jordan Rogers this past Friday. He's mentoring him in the run-up to the NFL draft. There's Jerry Lovelock of Prairie View A&M in Texas, participated in the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl under former Packers head coach Mike Holmgren. Really big guy, comes from a lower level of football, but a lot of tools there that are intriguing, to say the least. I think if you're looking at any sleepers, here's two guys that I like that are really under the radar that I think, let's say the Packers don't invest any draft choice into a quarterback at all. I've mentioned this on Twitter before. I don't know if I've mentioned that on this show. Sometimes I lose track of what I say, and I'll repeat myself. I don't think I've ever gone into this on Real Bird Central or not. But two guys I like, Jake Waters of Kansas State and Grant Hedrick of Boise State. I like these two guys, and I'm not sure why they're not getting more attention, because with both of them, I think they have NFL-caliber arms. And that is, again, something you can't teach. I think you either have that or you don't. More so with Waters than Hedrick. I think Waters has the stronger arm. And I think you saw it on display a lot of time with Kansas State throwing the ball to Tyler Lockett. There were a lot of opportunities there for Waters to show off his arm and hit Lockett downfield, to a lesser extent with Hedrick. But what I also like about both these guys is they've got the requisite athleticism. These guys are not statues in the pocket. They can get out and run a little bit. They may be not great by any means, but enough to get the job done, where they're just not that type of guy that are It's going to sit back in the pocket and either throw it or take a sack. They can be on the move a little bit. And I think these guys are ideal undrafted free agents. I would love to see the Packers try to develop either of these guys, especially Jake Waters of Kansas State. Would love to see the Packers even invest a seventh round draft choice into him even. I would love to see that. Would love it. So there it is. There's kind of your breakdown of this year's quarterback draft class and what may interest the Packers. Again, I find it hard to see them investing a day two draft choice. Couldn't rule anything out on day three. That's what I've got going for me right now. Just our two normal little segments here. We don't have a whole lot.
Packers news of the day.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers over this past weekend, former Packers running back Terdell Middleton passed away on Friday. I first saw it because his former teammate James Lofton had brought it to light on social media on Twitter, and I actually retweeted it, and he later replied to some conversation saying that Terdell Middleton was 3 days short of his 60th birthday, passing from this world a little bit too fast. He was a running back with the Packers in the 70s. He was the 4,000-yard rusher in franchise history in 1978, I believe the year was. He rushed for 1,000 yards and made the Pro Bowl, the only Pro Bowl of his career, but had a very good showing and actually came to the Packers organization via trade with the Rams. Interesting story there, but sad to see a member of the Packers family passing away. Our best wishes to Terdell Middleton's family. And here we are with
the day ahead
in the world of the Packers on this Monday, April, what is it, 4th today? Oh, 6th. I'm not sure where my internal calendar has gone. Of course, we've got this evening the NCAA championship basketball game. But on top of that, if there's one thing in the world of the Green Bay Packers going on today, and it's not exactly a good thing, former Packers Pro Bowl safety Darren Sharper is due in court in Louisiana on Monday on rape charges. Apparently, this is his first appearance in district court. He's had other appearances in the state of Nevada, in the state of California, apparently working on something called a global plea deal in which there's all these rape charges against him. I'm sure this probably hasn't escaped your conscience, talking like things like this are out of my league from a legal standpoint. Not exactly sure what I'm always talking about here, but apparently, you know, watch for that on your social media feeds as just the latest on Darren Sharper here, his latest court appearance, one of many in which he's trying to get all these situations resolved. And he's basically either pleaded, I believe, guilty or no contest to several of these counts in the past weeks and months. And finally looking for something that may settle all of these. I mean, Darren Sharper's going to be in prison for several years. I guess it's just a matter of how many here. And the process gets started today in Louisiana, in New Orleans. He, of course, also being a former New Orleans Saints safety. But that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for tuning into the show here today. We'll be back again on Wednesday, our next episode, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 3 days a week, the longest tenured Packers podcast on the internet. Glad you could join us, folks. We'll see you then. Enjoy the opening day in baseball today. Enjoy the NCAA championship tonight.
It's a rare time in Wisconsin history. I know I'm excited for it. I hope you are too. We'll bring it up on Wednesday's edition of Railbird Central. We'll see you later, folks. On behalf of everybody here at Cheesehead DB, I'm Brian Kiravu. I leave you today with a song called Mauna Boa by the String Cheese Incident on Cy Fidelity Records. Go Pack, go.